As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
FH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And yes, it is. It's Felix Johnson with us, our Chiefs insider, Field Vision, Arrowhead Addict, lots of great stuff. Felix, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Jacob, how are you doing this morning?
We're good. We're glad to be back. Yeah. Tommy and I have both been on some adventures, so a little back to reality today. It's early for my body, which is time zone now. We're at 3 a.m. from what I'm used to, and I just went outside to help the kids get on the bus, and it's colder here than in Hawaii. So there's a few things kind of smacking me in the face here this morning, but we're glad to have you in. We're getting closer to the NFL draft. I want to get to the draft in a little bit, but you've sent me a couple of things that you guys have been working on at Field Vision, and we can start there. Position groups. You've been evaluating position groups. You've been taking this league-wide. I think for us, like the big questions for me, especially when it comes to the defensive line, to the secondary, where are the Chiefs falling in these groups, and how has that process helped you maybe understand what their goals in the draft need to be?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting, and we've talked about it a handful of times over the last couple of weeks where the Chiefs sit at. It's kind of interesting when you look at their unit rankings, they're not exactly in the top tier of anything, really. Like it's kind of they're not the best. They don't even have the best quarterback when it comes to the advanced metrics and different things like that. So if you look at their secondary, it seems like they would have the best corner in Trent McDuffie, or at least one of the top three. And colloquially known, he is one of those guys. He is a first team all pro. He is that guy. You'd think that Chris Jones is the best defensive tackle in football. And he is, but not due to the advanced metrics, because the guy doesn't like breaking double teams on run defense, just because why, when you're Chris Jones, you got a lot more stuff to do in January and February. So who cares about what's going on in September? So I think it's kind of interesting when you look at different things like that, because the Chiefs are obviously phenomenal in everything, just made it to three straight Super Bowls, winning two of them. But in each individual spot, they're kind of average when you look at the advanced metrics. Like their secondary is about the 12th or 13th in the league. Their defensive line outside of Chris Jones is pretty decent, but outside of Chris Jones, what do you have? And their guys relying a lot on what Chris Jones does, sucking up double teams, getting a lot of attention. And then you get your George Karloftis's, your Charles Amenahu's, your different guys making big plays like that. So the Chiefs overall, their roster seems kind of average, but at the same time, we've seen the proof and the results that no, they're pretty good.
we are fast and furious in a position where, you know, people are doing mock drafts left and right. I mean, mock draft season is ramping up big time, and it has been for a while, but especially now as we get to the final couple of weeks before the draft. It's interesting because I feel like as of late, maybe the last week or so, a lot of the prominent mock drafts that I've looked at, I feel like more of them are shifting over to the thought of potentially a wide receiver in the first round for the Chiefs. And that may not ultimately be the direction that they go, but I'm seeing more and more mock drafts are looking at wide receiver at the end of the first round. How likely do you think that is for the Chiefs to use another high round draft pick for the third year in a row on a wide receiver?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting where we look at the Chiefs and say, yeah, their offense isn't what it used to be, but then they've made it to three straight Super Bowls, and so it doesn't really matter. But then in the third Super Bowl, they looked as bad as they did and looked inept offensively, and we know that they're not going to do anything philosophically different, where Andy Reid is going to be Andy Reid probably until he retires. Matt Nagy is probably not going to change anything massively, even if he has any crazy ideas that are coming through. Andy Reid is still the final play caller. Patrick Mahomes is still going to figure out ways to win games at the very least. And so how do you make that offense more effective if you're not going to do anything, change anything massively, like from a play caller standpoint? You got to get those weapons. You got to go out and get guys. And when you don't have the money to do so in free agency, you can't go trade for T. Higgins, and obviously he was going to re-sign with the Bengals. You can't go out and make these big trades that we've seen other teams make, like for a DK Metcalf going to the Steelers this offseason, and we've seen receivers make moves over the last handful of years. They have to make the moves in the draft because these are the only places they can make the moves. So I think that, to me, they have to, but in all likelihood, we've talked about it here, they're probably not even going to draft in the first round because it's the Chiefs. They'll probably just trade out and see something crazy happen. But who knows, because it's Brett Veach and he doesn't like to show his card until it's time to play.
Yeah, it does feel like philosophically that's the part where I feel like they have options. If they're going to trade up, we've talked about left tackle. If you were going to go all in there, this is a good year to do it, because they basically were able to run it back, right? Which none of us expected that, I don't think, when this offseason started, but that's what they've done. Like, they're running it back. So what can you do to add? And if you think about, okay, what do you do to beat the Eagles? If you're going to run it back, like, what do you do to need to get over that last hump? It's probably make the offense better. Yeah. I get it. I get why they're getting mocked there. I don't think they're going to. We talk about rushing it. I just pulled this up. And this is to your point, Felix, like, it does feel to me like there were years in there where the Chiefs, with Kareem Hunt sort of in his prime, or, you know, whatever, like, that they ran it more. They ran it more last year than any year in the last 10. More mm-hmm. times, attempts per season. Like, they ran the ball more last year than any of the last 10 seasons. So I think this notion that maybe they will, or they're not going to.
Right.
That was as much as we're going to get out of that. So adding a receiver, again, like, I understand why people think that's what they're going to do. I just don't know, like, where does that even fit if you go at a wide receiver right now, when you brought back Hollywood Brown, when you brought back Juju Smith-Schuster, and you have Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy now and Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because you're taking a player in the first round at that position, that doesn't really, like, how does that player even help? Unless they get Rashee Rice news in the next 10 days.
Yeah. No, and I agree with you, but it kind of goes back to the conversation of where else. Like, I mean, if they want a left tackle, they're going to have to trade up within the first half of the first round to get a guy that's worthy of starting in week one. You can hope for a Walter Nolan to fall to you at 31, or some defensive interior, maybe Derek Harmon from Oregon dropping down, an edge rusher. We've talked about that too. So it's about who's going to fall to you in the spots that you need. They're not going to have a left tackle, the best one in the draft, or somebody that's going to be able to start week one at 31. That's just not, in all likelihood, not going to happen unless something catastrophic happens, or they trade up like we've talked about. And so, to me, it's like, if you get to 31 and the only option is to draft a wide receiver that has a chance of helping you on the first on week one, maybe even week three, because we know wide receivers in this offense that we've seen over the last couple of years, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, that these guys aren't going to get it week one. It might take 6, 7, maybe 8 weeks. And by that time, Rashee Rice might be back or coming back from his suspension. So it's kind of hard for me just to say, yeah, go ahead and go draft a receiver for what you're saying, Jacob, but also who else are they going to? Like, I mean, they can draft a defensive interior lineman, but is it going to be a guy of quality that's worthy of using the 31st overall pick or a tackle? Because they've spent X amount of draft picks over the last handful of years on offensive tackles too. So are they going to waste another pick on that position again? And that's an even less productive, I guess, at least to the eye position than another left tackle.
Let me ask you both this then to sort of follow that. I get, like, no matter who they take there, it may not be somebody that jumps in immediately. I'm okay with that. Like, I can even accept that, whether they trade it up for left tackle. But even if you look, like, big picture of all the potential issues that are coming, wouldn't wide receiver not be, like, they've got Rice and Worthy. No matter how much Rice plays this year, like, that's not a position of need, not only this year, but that's not going to be a position of need at least for 2 years. Yeah. That's like, if you go take an interior defensive lineman or a pass rusher or a left tackle, and they don't contribute a ton this year, they're going to need them to next year. So at least it makes more sense that way.
Well, and then the price tag gets driven up on all these players. But if they don't play in, like, I think if a pass rusher doesn't play year one and then he's good for 2 years, you end up in like the George Karloftis situation where he's going to be asking for $100 million in a year or two. So with a defensive end or a defensive or a pass rusher in general, interior or on the edge, you're kind of running into the issue of this guy's going to be worth the second most of anybody on your team. And so that's the problem that you run into. If you have a fleet of receivers, I think you kind of – it's not a problem, but kind of like what the Packers have going on where they have like five guys and they need a number one. I think if the Chiefs had five guys, it'd be like, oh, here we go. Let's see where they're at. And so I think that's where the league is kind of heading. And unless you have a Justin Jefferson or a Puka Nacua or somebody like that in your wide receiver room, you kind of have to have a wide receiver by committee unless we have – Rashee Rice news in the next 10 days. And so I think that's why this draft pick is so pivotal, if you will, because of what you're saying, where they can draft defensive line, edge rusher, secondary, or they can go left tackle or wide receiver. And it could point us in the direction of like saying, oh, this is where the Chiefs are looking at, where they're more worried. But in what you're saying, they can win the Super Bowl next year. And they can draft a receiver in the first round, and he can be a bigger piece of winning the Super Bowl this coming year, as opposed to any other pass rusher, edge, whatever the case may be, for a guy coming that may not play for another year or two. So that's where I think the Chiefs are. They're trying to win now. They need contributors now, and the only way to do that would be getting a receiver early.
But don't you think, too, and you mentioned George Karloftis a minute ago, let's just say hypothetically with pick 31, they go edge rusher. Mm-hmm. That's if they do something like that, and there's probably a couple of other examples also. To me, that signals that they're not going to re-sign George Karloftis. Like, it's more of a, hey, we need to have not even a backup, but we need to have a future plan for once that contract, you know, gets large enough and free agency hits that, you know, we're not going to be able to afford that. We need to have the succession plan, you know, for somebody like a George Karloftis. And again, there might be, if they go cornerback, that might be the thought process as well. There's probably a strategy in place where they feel like, hey, let's look ahead a little bit because we're not going to be able to keep everybody. They never are.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and that absolutely has to play into what they're doing, planning as a franchise. And obviously, we've talked about it here. Patrick Mahomes is going to be 30 this year, so there's still a longer runway for this team than just the last 3 years or the next couple. So I think that what you're saying is absolutely right. But right now, the window's open now, and you don't know when it slams shut. And with a guy, I mean, obviously, this isn't the end-all, be-all, but this is where my brain goes immediately. The Kansas City Chiefs have a guy like Travis Kelce coming back for one reason, and that's to win the Super Bowl next year. everything has to be pointed in that direction. And obviously everything is. And so I don't think that necessarily that's the conversation going into place where, oh man, George is going to be coming up here in a year or two. So let's make sure that we have a succession plan, which absolutely it's going to be a plan. It's going to be something that we look at and that they're looking at, that their scouts are probably looking at. But right now, I think that the focus is on let's win the Super Bowl next year. We have guys coming back specifically to win the Super Bowl next year. If we're not pointed in that direction, what's the point?
It's I mean, you said they could, you know, they could draft a punter and win the Super Bowl next year, right? Like they were a team that got stronger as the season went on that had a bad game in the Super Bowl. It doesn't, and that's why I always like think of this pick as like I think it's going to be a pass rusher. I still think it's going to be a pack because I think that helps them the most now and in the future. I just don't know how a wide receiver helps this team if Rashi Rice plays. I don't.
And I really think it depends. I think if you allow Andy Reid more creativity, like if he's not going, excuse me, my dryer's going off. If Andy Reid is allowed to be more creative with more weapons, just in general, then sure, don't run the football. Like if you're not going to run the football as effectively. Now we've talked about how they've run the football more often, but it's not as effective. Like I was looking here, they're pretty incredible in 21 personnel, but how often did you see two backs on the field for the Kansas City Chiefs? So it's really frustrating to see them not run the football, but if they're not, or excuse me, not run the football as effectively as they could, but if they're not going to give Andy Reid another incredibly athletic piece, like, I don't know, Luther Burden or who, like whatever the case may be, give Andy Reid another chess piece to figure it out, because we've seen Andy Reid with various amounts of chess pieces figure it out.
I don't disagree with that sentiment. I don't know. How do they play? How does he even, what were you going to run five receivers? You're going to run five receiver sets. Now, again, maybe they have an indication of something on Rice. Like if you're going to tell me that Rice is going to miss like eight games and you know that's happening, but you don't know when, okay. Because I think what you don't want is what happened last year. Hollywood Brown goes down. Rice goes down. Now you've got to go pick dudes up, literally pick them up off the street or trade from them. I get it from that perspective. I do. And that does make some sense.
Well, and I'll even add on to the fact of like, you don't want to miss on the succession plan. Like if you draft an edge rusher or whatever the case may be, a Walter Nolan at 31 and Chris Jones is gone in 2 years or whatever the case may be, you wasted not only that first round pick, you got to use it again to rectify that pick. And if you have an edge rusher, a needed edge rusher here in a couple years, and you use that pick on an FAU a couple years ago and whomever you draft this year, and both guys aren't as good as you wanted them to be, well, then you got to use another pick on an edge rusher, probably early, probably trading ahead. So there's so many different scenarios. And obviously Brett Veach is going through all of them with every staff member, but these are the things that are going on, because you don't want to miss on any pick, let alone one that is not going to prove itself for a year, maybe two.
Yeah, I agree. All that work, all the, you know, insight you could need, Felix has you covered. Look for those positional reports. If, you know, kind of get some indication there at Field Vision, of course, has us covered at Arrowhead Addict as well. So this time next week, we're going into the draft. So we can make predictions. We can have all kinds of fun, because that's it. Like that's it. The draft is sneaking up on me. I don't know about you two, sneaking up on me more than I think it ever has before. Like it's going to get here and we'll be like, whoa, it's draft season. Yeah. Last year we had it in Kansas City and all that stuff. It's in Green Bay. We don't really know what's going to happen. Like
there's no quarterbacks. It's kind of a sad class. Last year we had six quarterbacks going in the first 12 picks, and this year we might have two going in the first nine, maybe. And so that's most of what you can judge how quality a draft class is. I put air quotes around it for our radio audience, but it's you never really, if the positions aren't sexy, nobody's going to look. It's one of those things where like it's just fine. Tet McMillan's getting some love, but he's Drake London. Like he's that's fine.
Yeah.
Like he's the biggest baller in the weapons part of the draft, and even then, it's like, all right, cool. So and like Cam Ward, his comp, Geno Smith, woohoo.
Shadur. Team or Shadur over whatever. Here. Let's go. He's Baker Mayfield Jr. is who that is.
Yeah.
You just watch. You just watch. All right. Congrats. Felix, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.